Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Unlimited Abundance. I'm here this week with a very special guest, expert tarot reader and astrologer and mentor, and my mom, Xenia, and I'm so excited to bring her back after the last episode we did. We did an episode in 2021 talking about uncovering your birth charts and the secrets in your birth charts. So if you have not listened to that episode, it is an amazing listen to really begin to view your birth chart as this cosmic data to give you insight on your path, your journey, and your evolution. And today we're going to dive a little bit deeper into what she likes to call the personal core of a chart. So before we dive on in, first of all, do you want to introduce yourself? A mini introduction. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Paulina. Greetings, my dear friends, as I always greet my subscribers on Instagram. If you are not my follower, I welcome you. I always share insights from the astrology perspective, from the energy work, from tarot. We do free mini readings and offer consultations. So I am Xenia. I have 30 plus years of experience in astrology. I went to astrology school and then also astrology academy and then been practicing astrology for many, many years. And some of you guys know who completed birth chart readings with me or who had done consultations with me. Welcome back. And I hope you gain more insights from today's podcast.
Yes, beautiful. So, you know, there's so much to uncover in a chart. And, you know, even if you've ever purchased a chart reading from Xenia, you know how thorough and in depth and the amount of hours on her end it takes to create one, the amount of effort and knowledge it takes to even to do a full reading, right, is a whole experience in itself. And the chart has so many things to uncover, right, with every degree, with every planet, with every conjunction, there's so much to uncover. So it's very difficult to ever do surface level readings, right? This is why like Cosmo astrology and things like that are never really satisfying or don't have as much depth. It's really important to understand the chart as a whole. And it's almost a blend of science and channeling in a way, right? It's a blend of science as well as insight. And so today we wanted to talk about just to begin uncovering the chart a little bit deeper. And always, if you have your personal chart with you while you're listening, or you can keep it in mind, I always recommend if you want to pull up your chart online somewhere so you have a reference so you can kind of, as we speak, perhaps gain greater clarity. If you're maybe driving, if you can at least just begin to remember what your big three are, so your sun, moon, and rising. And if you don't know what your sun, moon, and rising are, go ahead online and find a free chart generator and begin to pull those up so you can just begin having something in mind and begin kind of relating as we speak through this. So first of all, do you want to share what the personal core is in astrology, or what you consider is the personal core?
Absolutely. So we know that there are two main heavenly bodies, and those are moon and sun, and everyone and every other planets. And in traditional Western astrology, there are 10 planets that are considered for the birth chart analysis that are main planets, key planets, and they are called personal core, which is sun and moon, and then personal helpers, which are Mercury, Venus, and Mars, and then social planets, Jupiter and Saturn, and transpersonal that impact the entire generation. That would be Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto. And there are two karmic points that I also consider, which are very important, are South and North nodes and Lilith. So the personal core would be your sun and the moon. And the majority of people know their position of sun and they say like, oh, I am Gemini. So it means that their sun is in the sign of Gemini. But your Gemini could be different because, you know, it really depends on where your sun is, at which degree. And as Paulina alluded, we discussed the importance of the degrees in the previous podcast. So if it's in the beginning of your sign like Gemini, then it means that you will have different values, different flavors for your core, for your spirit, because sun is a masculine, right? It signifies the spirit, why your spirit came on earth, who you truly are. This is your spirit. This is you as a star, because, you know, see, sun is a star, like what will make you shine, like why, what kind of star you are, basically. And then moon is a feminine, and we know everything in our world is a balance of black and white, yin and yang, feminine and masculine. So moon reflects the feminine side of you. So basically, it shows how you project that spirit, how you gain that energy from the sun and how you perceive them. That's why in astrology, moon corresponds to feelings. So it's basically a reflection. And you may see this analogy from the astronomy, right? So when, you know, we have the light from the sun, moon reflects that. That's what we see. The reflected light is the light from the moon. So that's why these two called your personal core. And your personal core could be different, right? Because, you know, we just discussed your sun, let's say in Gemini, but your moon is in Capricorn. So then you have Gemini is air and Capricorn is earth. So you have like air and earth core. Now you think about this core, like, is this core strong or not strong? So then understanding of position of your sun and your moon, the signs, the degrees will help you to understand your values, what kind of star you are, and how you express, how you perceive the feelings, how you perceive the energy, and how you express that energy.
So you were speaking about how even just whether, for example, I mean, even what immediately came up is, first of all, the degrees, right, that the sun is in. So someone's sun is in 3 degrees Gemini versus 23 degrees, right, or 27, or if it's in a critical degree, that would be very, very different. So can you speak a little bit to that, if it's at the beginning of a degree or in the lower degrees or in the higher degrees, even how that would begin to influence whatever the sun sign is as well?
Exactly. So you guys know that astrology is a part of esoteric knowledge, and there is other tools such as numerology, and every number has meaning. So that's why, as Paulina said, okay, what's the difference between third degree versus being sun being in 23rd degree? So basically, first 3 degrees are called critical degrees. It means that if you have your sun in the first 3 degrees, it means that this sun, or, you know, I'm going to call it planet just for the sake of easiness. So it means that this planet just entered that sign, and it's like a baby. It's trying to experience. So it means that this person who has their sun in the first degree will also express some of the traits from the previous sign. So if we are talking about 3 degrees of Gemini, it means that you will also express some qualities of Taurus, because your sun is just like a baby. It was born, it's gonna try to be more Gemini than Taurus, but it will also have some qualities of Taurus. And the same true for others. So for example, if you have your sun in 3 degrees of Cancer, it means that you will be expressing a lot, like, you know, a baby, when they try to learn about the world, they're so excited, they're doing so many things, but, you know, some things they're doing not so smart, right? You know, we know that babies take everything in their mouth, they may put their fingers in electricity outlet and stuff like that. So it means that those qualities this person will also exhibit based on the sign. And we know that each sign will have their own traits and characteristics. Now let's talk about the last degrees, and the last 3 degrees, they are called critical degrees or anaret.
So those would be like 27, 28, 29, 30?
Yeah, 20. So 27 is kind of like on the border because it has minutes, right? So it really depends like
where it is.
Right, exactly. So yeah, but from 27 to 30 degrees, those three are critical degrees. So it means that the planet, if the planet is in those degrees, is like a person who is tired, who knows a lot, but they have no energy to change their way of doing, thinking, expressing themselves. So it's like someone who is very old, ready to retire, and they know a lot. They know that maybe other means could serve them better, but they have their own way of doing things and they're not willing to change their way of doing things. So for example, if your sun is in 28 degrees of Gemini, it means that it depends where your sun is, obviously, in which sector, like in which house in astrology is called house, and houses are areas of life that describe the areas of your activity. So, and again, a little side note, if you're interested about houses, I had a live on my Instagram page, so you could learn more about that. So I explained it pretty well based on the feedback from you guys. So it means that how this person is gonna change their attitude about this specific area. For example, if your son, let's say in the seventh house, and the seventh house is a house of partnership, it means that, yes, you know that you should behave differently in the relationship, but you don't feel like you want to change. It means that this person will always demand their partners to change.
Okay, so two things I want to unravel. First of all, mine is in three, the number before is a degree, right? So mine says three. So mine's in 3 degrees Gemini.
I don't know,
look, if it says three in front of the thing.
Yeah, but then it has 336. It means it just passed that critical thing.
Oh, so it's just, I was just after the baby, like infant.
Exactly. So you are infant, and it means that you will still express more of the Gemini traits, right? So like your baby is probably not going to put fingers in the electricity outlet, but it still will express so much of the Gemini traits, like lots of communication, lots of talking just for the sake of talking, maybe wasting your energy just for the sake of talking.
Relatable. that was so funny, because that was a big lesson for me. If I start talking, I can talk for so long, but it's been a lesson for me to move it in ways that are helpful. So the one thing I wanted to share is, like, just as like an overarching moment, just as we're even just beginning to uncover it, see, we haven't even gotten even into the moon yet. We're only talking right now about the sun and the moon, right? The core, and how much variation there is. So like, we only just started talking about the sign and the degrees, and we haven't even dove into houses yet. But just so you can begin to have an understanding of how deep astrology goes, right? We haven't even gone fully into two planets, and how much knowledge and information about you just lies here. This is like the brink, right? This is like the tiny, tiny tip of the iceberg about how much information is available here. And we haven't even, you know, gotten that deep. We've literally just starting to kind of uncover. This is like the beauty of astrology, and a good astrologer is able to uncover that whole iceberg. That's kind of the vision I'm getting in my head, is like an okay astrologer can look at the top and show you the top and be like, here's what's obvious, right? Here's like the main things. Here's a little bit about you. But a good astrologer, an expert astrologer like yourself, would be able to uncover the whole iceberg, right? Or at least the majority of it, or as much as deep as possible.
Exactly. And the next, because we will never be able to fully understand, because again, this is scheme, like our birth chart is a scheme of energies, a snapshot of energies. And we are just using what above, so below, let's say, and we are not sure if we are, how far we could go to the bottom, how deep.
Yeah, we don't know how deep the iceberg is. That's where it is. It's like we can interpret as much as we can, but even in the ironic thing or kind of paradox here, I feel like that even all that we know at the end of the day, even the most we know, is just the beginning of what we can understand in esoterica. And the next thing I wanted to transition into, kind of off of this, is you were speaking about houses. Can you just briefly go over the houses and kind of explain the top and the bottom? Because I think a lot of people completely forget about houses, and they just say, oh, I'm a Gemini blank, or, you know what I mean? But the difference about being a sun in the first house, or a sun in the fifth, or a sun in the 12th is very different. Like, and that is like you're saying, the star is how you shine. So it is in such different areas of your life. So can you please just speak to the houses and the importance of really looking at this?
Absolutely. So there are 12 houses. It basically cover 12 areas of your life. And I'm so adamant about the accuracy of your time of birth, because it really matters where your ascendant starts. And from the ascendant, you know, all the beginning of the houses, and the beginning of houses in astrology is called cusp. So where all those cusps are starting, and which system of houses you are using. So houses are areas of your life, or area of your activities, how you express yourself. And there are areas that are mostly about you, about what you do for yourself, how you express yourself. And then other houses, starting from 6 to 12, they, how you express yourself out of, in the outer world, in social life. So basically all the houses from first till six is your, it's my private life. So the first house is all about me, my body, my beliefs, my looks. And it's interesting to see, like, you know, if you have planets in the first body, it's going to tell something about your look. So, for example, you have Mercury in your first house, so you're probably going to, you most likely will look very young, you know, for a long time. If you have Uranus in the first house, you're probably more likely to get some surgeries for enhancement of your either face or body, and stuff like that. Then, and if your sun is in the first house, it means that all focus is on me, on my belief. It means that in life, I want to express myself and my beliefs. So I want to shine as me, as, you know, as I am. You know, first house you may interpret as I am. Then the second house is about my resources. And those resources, not necessarily material, even though the majority of astrologers say that the second house is a money house. Yes, it is money house, but it also includes your skills, which are non-material resources, right? Your skills, your knowledge, what you gain through your life. And again, second house also is about you. Third house also about you.
Can you explain what the sun and a little bit about the characteristics? Now let's move. Let's just go the sun through the houses. So the sun in the second house, just a little bit about
the sun in the second house. It means that for this person, they want to shine where? In the area of material gains, right? In the area of resources. It means that this person's more likely, their focus will be on gaining some material things, on gaining money, on earning money, because money will be very important for this person. Gaining skills, gaining expertise, to be able to monetize that, it's very important for this person. They want to be an expert in earning money. So, right, and I have clients who actually have sun in second house, and she is a millionaire. I mean, luckily she has strong sun, because, you know, we also discussed that planets, they could be strong or weak, and it depends on the aspects that they have. So it's, again, it's kind of like not very easy, as you may read in the popular astrology. So like sun in Gemini, it's so different, like, you know, for different person, depending on the time of their birth, depending on place of their birth, and depending obviously on the year. So
I have another question. So like, this is where we're like adding another layer. So sun in the second house is that focus, like you're saying, on material gain and resource, but now, so then whatever sign it's in, would you say that's the character they play to achieve that? So for example, the difference between a sun in Pisces, a sun in Sagittarius, and a sun in Gemini, could you just give a little bit of an example of those three energies of the sun in the second house?
Right. So for example, sun in the second house, we know that this person wants to shine and materialize as much resources as possible. And how they're gonna do that? Because, you know, the cusp or where the sun is located in which sign will tell how this is possible. So sun in Sagittarius means that the means will be depend on Jupiter, because Jupiter rules Sagittarius, and we need to see where the Jupiter is. And the Jupiter could be in, like, in which house? Let's say it's in seventh house. So it means that this person could earn money and will earn money more easily if they work with audiences, they work with other people, because seventh house is a house of partnership. Jupiter means education. It means sharing.
So it's all interconnected. So like one, it's like a puzzle piece. Like when you see a detective have like a bunch of photos and they're putting like rubber bands, that's what astrology is. You like find one piece and it takes you. And here we're not even considering the degrees yet. So like,
without aspects, and we haven't touched aspects yet.
So exactly. But the beauty is already how much information, right, just is available just even starting, but just so you can begin to understand that there's so much more to learn about yourself. If you've just like briefly looked or briefly kind of talked about it, that there's so much more to unravel, and the excitement of that, of how much more there is to unravel. So Sanya was saying, the sun in the second house in Sagittarius, you'd have to look at what's the ruler of Sagittarius, Jupiter, and you look at house Jupiter's in. So there's like a protocol of analysis that you go to paint the bigger picture, right?
Exactly. And then you know, we will have to see Jupiter. Is it weak planet? If Jupiter is weak, then this person's probably not going to gain as much, even though they will try, but they will spend more than they gain. If Jupiter is strong in their chart, then it means, yes, you know, they will be wealthy. They will be very good with money. And, you know, some of my clients, you know, who have, as I alluded, she's a millionaire and she lost her job. And she's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be good. She also have a fixed star. So it's a cherry on top. I also use fixed stars. If I see them in conjunctions with your core or with your main planets, then it has additional meaning. So she has a conjunction to speak and I said, no, you will always have money. So, and she found a job, actually like a recruiter reached out to her and she got even bigger compensation, a job with bigger compensation.
So let's look at a Pisces sun in the second house, just for to paint a bigger picture.
Sure. So for example, if your sun in second house and it's in Pisces, so the ruler of Pisces is Neptune. We have to see where the Neptune is, right? So the Neptune usually means that it's about culture, it's about music, it's about expressing yourself and creativity. So it will suggest that this person more easily will earn money in the sphere of either photography or chemistry or C or, you know, some kind of theater or something that has connection with Neptune, but it's hard for me to say because, you know, I don't know where the Neptune is and in which house. So we have to see where the Neptune is, in which sign and which house, and then whether it's strong planet or not so strong planet.
And then the Gemini, so you'd look at where the Mercury is, and so they would most likely gain those resources through communication.
Exactly, through exchange of information, using their mental work. So it's not necessarily just talking, because Mercury also rules commerce. So it could mean that this person will be successful in doing something on their own. And again, this, you know, it needs to be analyzed each house, like second, 10th, and 8th house, and 6th, to see like whether for you would be more advisable to work for someone or to search for entrepreneurial opportunities. Because again, it really depends on the ruler and the planets. And, you know, there's also, and we spoke briefly about that, like how, you know, like, oh, what if this planet has so many aspects? Like, you know, what does it mean? And this means this is the king of aspects. So this is the main planet. It, because, you know, it has so much ways to express in itself, right? Because on all aspects are something like, if we imagine people holding hands, so it means that this planet is holding hands with so many different people. It's like good at networking, so it has tons of opportunities. Versus if you have a planet that has zero aspect, it means like it's some kind of loner that doesn't want to talk to anyone, interact with anyone. So you would never know how this person is going to react because you have not seen that. So it really depends on not only sign, but also aspects and the strength of or weaknesses of the planet.
It's 222. third house, what does the third house represent?
Then third house represents communication, exchange of information, early education, and then also short contacts. So basically a lot of short contacts that you may just, again, for what we would have to see the ruler of the third house is. Because, you know, it really, there is no black and white. It's all interconnected, to your point. You have to be like a detector, you know, like, okay, this is the second, this is the third house. My son is in third house. It means that for me, it's very important to express yourself, use my brain, use communication. If it's in Gemini, right? But if, for example, your third house, let's say in my case, it's Leo, right? So it means that
your son is Cancer,
right? But I mean, I'm just saying, like, if my son was in third house and then it would be, I just want to and, you know, I just want to shine, as you know, either in fashion, right, either in creativity, basically having spotlight, because Leo energy is having the spotlight or sharing the light with others because it's ruled by sun. And it would be a strong position, right? Because, you know, sun will be in that. So some of the Leos who have their sun in Leo, obviously, right? So in third house, it means that they like to express themselves through communication, but they want the spotlight being on them. So if they are working, and you may kind of like use this information not only for yourself, but if, for example, you have your partner and you want to understand how better to interact with your partner, or it could be romantic, it could be business partner, you could order a birth chart and see how they like to communicate, what works for them, where, what are the hot buttons for them, right? So, and then if it's in third house, it will mean that, oh, they would be pretty good. They will try to steal the spotlight from you. So from the partnership perspective, and again, we need to see all other planets in the birth chart, but just kind of like based on this limited information, we will assume that this person is gonna try to put the focus on themselves.
Yeah, in my head, I think of like a girl who's just like all about her, and her boyfriend's just kind of like, you know, just like there. That was like the really picture I get in mind. What? So then let's move to the fourth house.
And the fourth house signifies the area of life that corresponds to your home, family life, heritage, root, and also real estate. So if your sun is in fourth house, it means that family values are very important for you. Having family is very important to you. And you probably want to be a good parent.
I have nothing in the fourth house.
So if you have no planets in the house, it doesn't mean that it's not, that there is no activity, because each house has its ruler, right? Mm-hmm. So your fourth house is where?
Is, what do you mean, is it what sign?
Yes,
it hits like both. It hits, it looks like Gemini and Taurus, like.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, we need cusp, so beginning of the house, and it's in Taurus. So it means that your house in Taurus, and the ruler of Taurus is Venus. So, and I remember that Venus is strong in your chart. So it means that you have strong family values, strong support from the family. And because it's in Taurus, you would like some luxury life. You would like to have, because, you know, Taurus is about stability, grounding, comfort. So you'll always look for home, which is comfortable, kind of on the luxury side. You will always try to put everything in your home, like, you know, bring some stuff to home, because, you know, Tauruses also like to collect things.
That's so true. Whenever like I go out somewhere, like Kyle's like, you're like a little kid, like you just have to get something. And you would say that too, you know, like, yeah. I like bringing something into the home, like here's a new spoon or something like super small, or like here's a new plate. Like I like the.
But see, you're not going to bring any spoon or any plate.
Yeah, like a beautiful, luxurious, yes. Handcrafted, gold plated,
yes.
Spoon.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it means.
So then let's go into the fifth house, and my son's in the fifth house, so you can use it as an example. So yeah, son in the fifth house in Gemini.
Yeah, so fifth house corresponds to love, your love that you share with the world. So that's why often astrologers say that the fifth house is a house of love, but actually it's more, because as you may see, each house, it's not just one tiny bit of information. It corresponds to multiple areas of life. And you have to understand what sign, what planet, where the ruler is, to being able to interpret what it really means for this specific person. So in your example, it's a house of creativity. So, and because it's in Gemini, creativity in the communication sense and sharing information. So it means that you would like to shine. You would like to be a star, to express your creativity through communication. So you'll be very creative in creating some kind of courses, some kind of speeches, something to share information. And that's where you want to shine. You want to get attention. This is how you express yourself.
That's like me, because I was on a call with Brittany yesterday. I was saying how I would love to do like a TED talk. Like that to me would be like to come and like present information and a speech, and
exactly,
be like,
because, you know, fifth house is also about theater. It's a creativity, as I said, so theater, it also will be in the fifth house. So you would be good as an actor, and kind of like, but talking actor.
So would you say almost a lot of actors would have them play like a lot of stuff in their fifth house in that?
Yes, yeah, 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 or strong ruler of the fifth house.
And then sixth house,
so then again we are still talking about houses that are under horizon, because if you guys see the line ascendant descendant, that line is called horizon. So all the planets below this horizon are talking about you. So then sixth house is expression of yourself. It's about your integration of self and about your profession. It's also house of physical health.
So if the sun was there in Gemini, what would that look like?
Yeah. So for example, if the if the sun was in the sixth house, it means that for you, it's very important to express yourself as an individual contributor. So you will want to work, but you will want to work having no bosses. So basically what it means, or kind of like having, it's one way. So we need to see the second house also, because again, you cannot just interpret your chart based on the cherry picking of information. It has to be all in conjunction. But just kind of like for the illustration purposes, if your sun is in sixth house, you would like to work as an individual contributor. You don't want to manage other people, or you would not really want to manage other people, then again, depending on your sun. So if your sun is strong, and then Gemini, it's no specific position, because, you know, also different planets and different signs have either a detrimental position, or, you know, they could be in domicile position, strong positions and stuff like that. We have to look at the aspects. So if your house, if the sun is strong, then it means you'll have a good health, because it's a house of physical health. And I've seen some of the clients who ordered birth charts, for example, for their kids, and the sun is weak. For example, if your sixth house is in Aquarius and your sun is there, so it means that your sun is weak, right? But then we have to look at the aspects. So maybe aspects is gonna help your sun to be stronger. So usually it will mean that you'll have some challenges with physical health, but then we have to see where the ruler of the sixth house, and in case of Aquarius, says we need to see where the Uranus is. And if Uranus is strong, then it means it kind of like cancels out things. So again, it's not black and white.
You can't cherry pick a placement and just say
To see the entire chart. So that's why it takes a lot of work. So you cannot just work on one thing and forget about another thing. No, it's all interconnected.
The second my child is born, I'm texting you, I'm pulling up their chart. I'm going to be like, wait, have the diagram, like, look at it right away. You see, it's like Leo, Libra, Scorpio. You're like, wow, here we go.
Yeah, and then now we are jumping to the seventh house.
Yeah, so above the horizon.
Yeah, above the horizon. And those houses called public houses, so, or social houses, how you deal with others. So you will compare first house versus seven, like I versus them, I versus you, me and you.
Want to just briefly just go like quickly 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, just kind of what it's about, and then we'll go into the moon.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's gonna take them.
Yeah, so just kind of briefly what the house represents, and you kind of get the understanding of we've kind of explained that there's the planet in the house, in the degree, in the sign. So you're kind of getting, hopefully you're really getting a little bit of understanding. I know it's a lot of information, but we'll just go through the rest of the houses. So you want to share about the seventh?
Yeah, seventh house is a house of partnership and interactions with others. So it's not necessarily only business partners, it's also romantic partners. And sometimes astrologers call that a house of marriage, or your house of spouse. So then the eighth, and if sun is in seventh house, it means that partnership is very important to you. So like for you to feel whole, to feel, you know, me, you need to have a partner. You want to have a partner. You kind of like required, all your essence wants to be in a partnership. So then the eighth house is a house of transformation, or the house of resources of other people, because, you know, second house is my resources, the eighth house, the resources of other people. And it's also a house of transformation and death. So kind of like extreme experiences. So if your sun is there, I've seen a lot of people who are in medical profession, or some people who are healers, they have eighth sun in the eighth house, because you interact with the energy of other people. Because as we said, it's resources, not necessarily only material like money, but it also other resources, skills and energies of other people.
Nine.
The ninth house is a house of communication, but it's not a third house of kind of like regular day-to-day communication. It's a house of specific communication. So that's why foreign communication, that's why people say it's all about foreign languages, foreign travel, everything foreign. So, and also about higher education, and I would emphasize it's not only higher education, it's kind of like very specific, special type of education.
Like very like niche education.
Right. So if you have a son in the ninth house, it means that most likely, because, you know, also son in females chart indicates a spouse. So you're more likely to have a spouse or a partner who's gonna be from foreign culture. So not the same culture as you. Also means that you may travel a lot, or that you may spend a lot of time doing either research or pursuing your career in education, or again, it depends like which sign and which aspects they have. So there's a lot of different options. So then the 10th house is the highest point of your chart. So if we kind of like imagine the chart and the cusp where it starts, it has that MC letters. So it's medium coeli. So it means that the higher point of your birth chart. So it's what you could reach in your life. So that's why in astrology, they say it's a career house, but it's not necessarily only career house. Yes, career house will be a 10 house, but it's also about your social realization, about your pursuit in your life, what you could achieve, what you could dream of in your life. So
I have a question. I have a question. So mine's in Scorpio, my MC. I just saw that. So can you just for 1 minute, just a personal reading.
Exactly. So see, she's taking advantage of that. So Scorpio is ruled by Pluto. It means that your career or your social realization will involve transformation. But then, you know, what kind of transformation? We will have to see where your Pluto is and which house.
Pluto is in the 11th house.
And 11th house is like about other people or people with similar interests. So it means that your career, your social realization will involve transformation of communication and interactions with other people, people with similar interests.
That's literally what I do when I like coach or hold courses.
Exactly. And, you know, if you have strong core and connection with your core, then you know what to do and your spirit kind of guides you. And I've seen a lot that for people who have strong core, they know what they're doing. They kind of like, it's almost, I don't know how to say, your something inside you leads you or guides you. It's divine, I would say. The divine guides you. And it's all in stars. And once you start looking at the verse, just like, oh my God, how accurate is that? And I've seen so many people getting back to me and stuff like, oh my God, how would you know? Like, you even didn't talk to me, you even didn't meet me. How would you know so much about me? And, you know, they are amazed at how much information their birth chart provided to them.
It's literally amazing. It's amazing, like you're saying, looking in retrospect, like things you, like you just, like you said, you just follow your soul, and then you look and you're like, oh, so exactly this. Oh, and then you also said where your son is would indicate what kind of spouse. And my husband is an Aquarius and my son's in Gemini. So like a spouse would be an air sign or be chatty. Is that what it would say? Are we like talking?
No, your son is in Gemini. It means that in which house? In fifth house. It means that you will meet your husband or your partner based on similarities and, you know, love, because fifth house is about love. So it's kind of like, it's about sharing love. I would say that, you will get married not because of money or because of some different things, but because of love.
You hear that, people? And then the 11th house?
11th house is, again, that's the across your fifth house. So 11th house, the love that you get from others. If fifth house is love that you share, then the 11th house, that's love you get from other people. So that's why a lot of popular astrologers say it's a house of friends, or it's a house of people with similar interests or groups of interest or social media. So basically it's about interactions with other people, but people whom you share something in common. And also you will see how you will receive love. So it's also from the 11th house.
And then the 12th
house. A lot of social activities, like social workers will have, for example, sun in their 11th house. So because, you know, they want to interact with others and but, you know, it depends also on the sign. And the 12th house is the house, again, it's a house of mental health. It's It's a house of unknown, it's a house of hidden, it's a house of mysteries, and it's a house of divine. So it has a lot of different meanings, and some say like isolations, and you know, they have in mind like jails and stuff like that. So it's not true, and don't be afraid if you have a lot of planets in 12th house. So I have lots of planets in 12th house. It means that for this person, what's very important is spirituality, is connection with divine and being on their own, right? So it's kind of solitude, but it's if you have sun in 12th house, like in my case, it means that you like to be alone, you are self-sufficient, you don't need anyone else, you're self-content, and you like to dip deeper into the unknown, understanding the meaning was behind the scenes.
I think as someone like living in the woods, you know, and just like who, like, you know, people who just move out to the woods and kind of live a peaceful life, like that, they would probably have 12th house activity, right, where they enjoy just being like
it really depends like when it happened, because it could happen not necessarily based on your birth chart but based on transits. Like for example, if your ruler of your 12th house was activated, it could, you know, force you or kind of like inspire you to move and live somewhere like in
remote
in the barrel.
yeah you're like, that's it guys, I'm like, young people like they leave and go live somewhere remote. So then transitioning now to the moon. So the moon is the second part of now that we went over the houses, you can just apply what we speak about the moon to the houses. But
yeah,
can you speak a little bit about the moon?
And the moon, as we said, that's the soul, because we have spirit, which is signified by sun. And moon is kind of like soul. So it's a duo. That's why it's called personal core. It's a connection of masculine and feminine. It's spirit and soul. Then they form this core, right? So, and as I said, the moon is a reflection or feelings, how you reflect what you want to do, how you express yourself, how you perceive things, and all other planets kind of like helpers, like personal planets, right? So, and as we alluded earlier, it depends where your moon is in correspondence with your sun. So what kind of core it is. So for example, in your case, your sun is in
Gemini,
so it's masculine energy, and moon is in Capricorn, and its earth is a feminine energy, so it's kind of like balanced. So it means that you could do either or, so it's kind of like you're balanced, right? But I mean, and we have to see like which planet is stronger. In your case, because your moon is in Capricorn, it means it's weak moon, so your masculine energy will be stronger, but mm-hmm. You know, your moon has only positive aspects, because I know your chart, right? So it has some helpers, some other planets that's going to help you balance, for example, your moodiness, because your moon is in the first house.
Another kind of question about the moon, would be where you find emotional fulfillment, right? Like what kind of emotionally fulfills you?
Not necessarily. So it basically, moon is the fastest moving celestial body, indicates where the most changes will come from and where they will happen. And in your case, I was said, you know, about moodiness, right? Because it's like feelings. Moon signifies feelings, but in your first house, it's like your feelings. And because, you know, the moon changes so frequently, it means that you will have lots of change your mood during the day. So it could go like, you know, back and forth, minus 10, plus 10. So, and for example, in my case, my moon is in third house, and it means that I will have lots of different contacts, lots of, you know, different information. And, you know, like when I'm reading not one book, not two, maybe three or four at the same time. And I have a lot of communications. I mean, I obviously love to talk, because my, Venus is in Gemini, so I like to talk. Guys, if you need to talk to me, feel free. I'm very easy to talk. Like yesterday, one of my clients texted me and I said like, hey, Ksenia, I want to book a consultation with you. And I asked her like 30 minutes or 60. And she said like, probably 60. For you, 30 minutes is like 3 minutes.
Probably 2 hours, actually. Right.
Yeah.
So another thing I noticed is that I really like Capricorns. Usually when I meet them, my assistant's a Capricorn, and I just usually just really like Capricorns. So is that because the way that their sun is, the way that they express themselves feels good?
Exactly, because, you know, based on the interaction, the first when people meet, the interaction happens on the position of their moon, and their suns, they kind of like start interacting later. So for example, if you meet someone, the first spark or the first I like, I don't like this person, the first really exchange of energy happens between your moons. So like, for example, your moon is in Capricorn, and you said like you like people who are
Capricorn suns.
Mm-hmm. But then, so it will be
air moons. Everyone who's come close with has an air moon. My husband has an air moon. Liana has an air moon. Like friends from the past always had an air moon.
But then your sun is air. So it's kind of like
reversed.
Exchange of energy is back and forth. So because, you know, any interaction is first interaction comes, you know, from two moons. But if you have interaction with opposite sex, it will be moon and sun, because those are also gender planets like Mars and Venus. So it's kind of tricky because you also have to see your Mars and Venus, like when we are talking about interactions. But first of all, you know, it starts based on your moon and then your suns.
So, okay, kind of going off of that, you're saying that the moon is like your feminine energy. So whatever sign your moon was in, would that be the best way for you to express or tap into your feminine? So for example, if someone's moon was in Virgo versus someone's moon was in Aquarius, like, would that be the best kind of character or role for them to access their feminine?
Well, so again, it's not black and white question. Why? Because we need to see which planet is stronger. If their sun is stronger or their moon is stronger, then we have to see where their sun is compared to horizon. Like, which planet is higher? Is it sun higher or moon higher? So for example, if their sun is higher, it means that for them expressing masculine energy and being more active comes more natural and they will feel more fulfilled, versus for someone whose moon is more stronger, it means that for them expressing their feminine side would come more easily and allowing things to happen would be more fulfilling for them.
That's so interesting, because I relate to the first one. Like, I feel like I'm like just like when I'm doing and taking action, I feel the most me. I can relax when I'm exhausted, but
because
I feel
your sun is stronger than moon. Your moon is weak. So that's why you will always try to be more active and you will feel like, oh, it's me. You're not someone who's going to just sit and wait for things to happen, right? Because, you know, we also spoke in one of my IG lives about the composition of your chart of energies, because we have each planet in different signs, and different signs corresponds to different elements. And those elements are air, fire, earth, and water, and they are masculine or feminine. And you could calculate, even like it's a very, very first analysis of your birth chart, just to understand the energies of your birth chart, like what dominates. If you have dominating feminine energy, it means that you're going to be more kind of follower, more passive, if it makes sense, but on the other side, more nurturing, more understanding, more compassionate, versus someone who has a lot of masculine energy, like domination of masculine energy. They're going to be the doers. They will not be able to sit still and kind of like wait for things to happen. They're going to be the initiator of the actions.
It's kind of an interesting thought I had. Do you find that then for the people who have more of a feminine energy, like when we're looking at elementals, those people would probably find more fulfillment in being a mother then, right? Because they have more, they enjoy more of the nourishing, that they have more of those qualities.
Yeah, yes, but then it also depends which element. For example, if they have domination of earth, those are the best workers that you want, you know, because they, whatever you tell them to do, they're gonna do it. They're not gonna question, they're not gonna rebel, they're not gonna do crazy stuff. They will do exactly what you told them to do. And those
I said mom. We're talking about moms, right?
Oh, okay. Moms.
I said that's gonna be the best kind of mom. Someone who has a lot of, like you were saying, how you can do a very simple analysis to see if you have more masculine energy in your chart, like more, what's masculine energy? Fire, air, and
fire and air, because it's only four.
Okay, and then earth and water are more feminine.
Yeah, they are feminine.
They are feminine. Feminine. So then you would see what you have more of. So someone who had more feminine, would they find more fulfillment in being a mother?
Yeah, being a nurturer or taking care of others. So it's, yeah, you may call them a mother, because again, you could see from your chart if you're gonna have your old children or if you're gonna not have children, or, you know, yeah. So basically you will see like if the person is more inclined to be a child. There's a ton of information from your birth chart. So
So yeah, it just kind of it just it, it's I'm trying to think that I had like another kind of question to dig deeper. I guess for so what I've realized, and you can tell me your thoughts on this, is if we're not feeling emotionally fulfilled, that we need to nourish our moon. And if we're not feeling like energized or inspired, like you feel stuck or depressed, then we should nourish our sun, right? Can you speak a little bit more to this? Because I think this will be really, really helpful for people.
Exactly. So, for example, when you do the analysis, and I also offer not the ultimate birth chart reading where you could understand all the little details about yourself, but basic chart reading. So, you will know the position of your planets. Obviously, you will have your chart and the rulers, which planets are strong and weak, and the composition of energies. So, you will know which planet is weak, and then I will discuss what to do to strengthen the planet. That's what you alluded. So, for example, if you have not so strong sun, then what could help it? So it depends which kind of aspect your sun has, because as I mentioned earlier, aspects is like holding hands. So harmonious aspects, it's holding hands, and other planets is helping you, and you need to see which planet it is and which house. So it will provide you with tips how to strengthen the planet, right? Where to get this help for your weak sun, for example, or weak moon. But also which crystals you could use, right? Because each planet has its own crystals, has its own oils, like essential oils, has its own chakra correspondence. And
What crystals are Jupiter?
Jupiter would be lapidolite and amethyst.
Oh,
So
it's funny because I got a lot of amethyst. Remember?
right, so you kind of like strengthen that Jupiter, which is already strong in your birth chart, and in your chart Jupiter is in second house, so it's kind of like bringing you more abundance.
It's funny because I was naturally drawn to amethyst. I was like, I got really big chunks when I went to the gem show. I guess so. Like, so to a few two things. The first thing I want to say is obviously for you to share your different services, but I want to first highlight something that I think is life changing, and that I get a lot of messages asking, where do I find the best birth chart reading? Can I find info about my birth chart? And I always send everyone to my mom because she is an expert astrologer and she is literally the best person you could go to for a birth chart. And she has an ultimate birth chart reading, which if you're wanting, this is an investment you make once and you have this for your whole life. It's like you get to understand and uncover your chart. And every time you'll reread it, you'll find new keys. And it's like this textbook you can go to consistently. You will obviously, when you first get it, you'll have such an understanding. You may already feel inspired to activate or move forward in specific areas of your life. You may get clarity on patterns, how to break them, create new ones, but also just throughout the years and throughout the months, you can continuously refer to your chart and find new information and new guidance. And the chart that she offers is the ultimate birth chart reading, which I'll ask you to speak about. But it's really beautiful because not only obviously do you get this reading, but you get this beautiful binder. It's absolutely stunning. And inside you have your entire birth chart reading printed and a picture of your chart and your name on the pages, and you get this tangible, physical, beautiful, literally kind of piece of art. It's like energetic art, it's your chart and interpretation that you get to have. And I just was making a joke. It's so amazing if you meet new friends or you're dating someone, you just hand them the binder. It's amazing because you get to keep something with this really in-depth understanding of yourself that you can continuously, it's a gift that keeps on giving. And also, side note, if you have a partner or friend, like this is, if you're ever thinking of a really meaningful gift, I mean, what other gift can you give someone than like the gift of self-discovery? I always tell people it's an amazing gift because it's also tangible as well. So obviously I want you to speak to your services, but can you please speak to the ultimate birth chart? And also, she always gets booked up. So if you're wanting to look at reading, I know the last time when we did a podcast, there was a really big waiting list. Right now she's taking new people on for readings. So if you are wanting a reading, I suggest you hop on because they are so in depth and take so much time that she usually has a big wait list form. So if you are desiring that, I'll put it in the keynotes, and I'll put her Instagram in the keynotes, put her website and her Instagram in the keynotes. You can see this on her website. You can see it on the Instagram as well. But I definitely recommend booking so you get your reading as soon as possible. But please speak to the reading and then to other services. But I just wanted to highlight that because it's just I just don't think there's anything like such a gift where, I mean, she spends hours and hours. And the readings are so thorough and so in depth. And my clients, where my courses are, my one-to-one clients come to me, and they're like, the reading changed my life. And I always send them that way. And just this new kind of this new format of also receiving a physical, tangible binder, I just think is something so beautiful and something you can really, really keep as like a kind of a centerpiece of your unraveling and of your spiritual journey. But yeah, please speak to that.
Absolutely. So when we created a website, and thank you to Paulina for helping me out, so where you could actually book your birth chart reading and see all other services, and this is readingsbyxenia.com, and Paulina will share the link. You have an option to order an ultimate birth chart reading. And I thought that if I put myself in your shoes, what I want from this reading. Yes, you will get an electronic version of the reading. It's kind of like a PDF document, which is about 30 pages. But what if I move? What if, you know, my computer, something happens with my computer and stuff like that, or with my email? And, you know, I've had some clients who ask me like, hey, you know, I don't know, I displaced it, you know, can you resend it to me? So I thought like it would be great to have a book about you. So basically now with Ultimate Birth Chart Reading, you get not only in details, 30 pages. It really depends on the how many aspects you have and how your house is expressed and stuff like that. But it's about 30 pages book about you, about what you could expect, about your talents, about your traits, about your mission in life, about your partnership, about your financial situation, about your career. If there is information about health, you know, I include it if I see something. It's different for each person, right? But there is ton of information. And you saw that we just discussed sun and moon, but we have 8 more planets and plus nodes.
Plus aspects and conjunctions.
Plus aspects and plus Lilith, which indicates in where in life you will have a blind spot. So you'll not truly really understand or where in life you will have temptation. So maybe we could do another life on
Lilith.
Understanding, you know, Lilith, guys, let us know. Maybe text Paulina or DM.
Text.
Message. So now with birth chart reading, those who ordered an ultimate birth chart reading, you will have a book about you. And this is very nice, like, you know, leather cover and, you know, good paper. And once I get it from the printing, you know, I will share it with you guys. So on my Instagram, how it looks. So basically you could put it on shelf and just enjoy the aesthetics of that, or you could go and reread it. So it's going to be a book that you may, it's going to be after you. So you could share with your kids, you could share with your partner. And as Paulina alluded, it has a ton of information.
You bring it to your first date, you just slide it over to the person.
Or if you would like to make it gift a it. Nice, meaningful gift for someone, it would be a very great idea as a gift. And I know that it's kind of an investment, and you guys understand how much time and effort it involves and how much expertise it involves, because, you know, I graduated not only from astrology school, but also from Astrology Academy. And, you know, like it's time investment plus money investment plus, you know, 30 years of experience. I cannot do it for for $10. So it is quite an investment. But if you are on budget, but still want to understand something about you, or at least have a birth chart which is accurate and which explains key planets and the rulers of your area of life, and at least you will know what's the strength of your character is and where the challenges are most likely to happen, what you need to work on, there is a basic chart reading available. It will not come with this book, obviously, but still, you know, it will provide a ton of information as a PDF. So
it's a good
thing. You may print it yourself and kind of like put it in a binder. But I thought like for the ultimate birth chart reading, if you invest in yourself, so like if I invest in myself, I want to have something tangible. So that kind of like provides you with something tangible that you could hold on to, you could read at night as a read about you, right? The most important person in your life. Other services, it's Synastry, and we probably spoke about Synastry in one of the podcasts. I think we did a little bit.
I think we did spoke a little bit about Synastry, and I think that a lot of people really crave Synastry readings, which means you and another person. So if you're dating someone, or you're in a relationship with someone, or you're getting serious with someone, or even if you just, you know, it's even early on and you're just wanting a reading, or it's later and you're wanting to find ways to improve it, Synastry readings are amazing, and those take a lot of expertise to be able to not only read one person's chart, another person's chart, but the combination integration of energetics together. And
this is more about the connection. So it's not going to be like your ultimate birth chart reading and his ultimate birth chart reading. It's going to be just about the communication. So about interactions. And then other thing that is very popular is professional orientation or health and professional orientation. So for example, if you are not sure what you want to do or, you know, whether you are on the right path. So this astrology-based reading will gonna help you to see where you'll be more successful in your life from the career perspective, from the profession perspective, whether you should be pursuing your entrepreneurship or whether you'll be more successful working for someone else or just building a career ladder, let's put that way. Because, you know, for example, if you work as a nurse, you're probably not as someone who works in business, like in a corporate job, who is trying to be a manager and a senior manager and stuff like that. So yeah, that's about astrology, but I'm also a tarot expert. So I have a lot of tarot readings available. So, and those are about, oh yeah. And for the astrology, like love and relationships. So if you're looking to gain more insights about your love life, there is also, I think, offering to do so. And tarot is, if you have like a burning question that you cannot sleep, it gives you anxiety, feel free to hop on the website and order this one hot burning question reading. So
that's one of her, that's a really popular one. I feel like you're
receiving. Yeah. So, and I get back very quickly, like within 3 business days or sooner. So I try to do it like right away, but you know, as you guys understand, if there are some others who booked before you, so I have to honor those orders first. And then mentorship. And the mentorship program is a combination of all tarot readings, astrology readings, and my expertise in psychology. So I have very strong moon. Let's talk about astrology, which is in third house, is communication, right? So, and we alluded earlier, I'm very easy to talk to. And you guys, you know, those who work with me say that I'm very good at helping people to feel at ease, share whatever situations they are going through. So we will create a plan. So like, you know, if you are wondering what I could do for you, just book discovery calls. So then we will discuss what could be done in your specific situation. And if we move forward with the mentorship, then, you know, this call is kind of like complimentary. It's going to be applied to that mentorship program. So it's 1 month or 2 months, and it's we will not only use tarot and astrology and psychology issues, but also all other rituals that I shared in my workshops. And again, if you're interested about workshops, how to protect yourself with energy, creating energy balls, how to improve relationship, there are multiple rituals that I shared, and also feng shui, which was also very popular, and it has a PowerPoint presentation, I think like with also 30 slides or 40 slides.
Yeah, it was like literally the most informative lectureon feng shui. I think it was one of your exactly, bestsellers. Amazing. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's, and you know, obviously to read more details, you could jump on my website and explore each of the offering.
Yeah, so there's so many ways. Like, we're so happy to have a website where all her offerings are all shared. And like I said, if there's just so many places to start, whether you're more into astrology or tarot or both. And if you're working for someone to work with a mentor, to be able to have someone on your side who understands astrology, your chart, transits, the shifts that are going on in your life, and is able to consistently assist you as well through psychology and through tarot and so much personal wisdom and experience. I mean, there's really nothing like it out there. And I really recommend, if you're looking for a mentor, someone to work with so much knowledge in these really special fields, then definitely book a discovery call. Like she said, if you end up working together, the discovery call goes towards your mentorship. So it basically is complimentary. So like I said, if you're not sure where to start, it's a discovery call is a really great place. You can share your situation, and you can share what would be like the best place to begin, right? Whether that's astrology or tarot, or kind of what the path will look like of working together ultimately.
Exactly, what the plan will be, and we will discuss. So I'll share what I could do for you, and you know, it's up to you if you want to move forward. We'll move forward, and you know, I have clients who worked with me, and they're very happy. So one of the clients, she was suicidal when we start working. Now she's happy. She said, "You changed my life." She is in a relationship. She has her own business, and she's thriving.
Oh my gosh. See, this could be you. You know how many people do it in the ad? No, but yeah, definitely such so many amazing offerings. Like I said, I'll have your website down in the keynotes and your Instagram. And on our Instagram, just so much informative content, like lives. If you enjoyed this conversation about astrology every week, pretty much, or very often, she has lives going into deeper aspects about astrology, as well as mini tarot readings. So if you're wanting to dive deeper, her page is really an amazing page to follow, as well to get updated on major aspects and transits that are happening in the collective. Like, she did a post. And did a live, right, on Mars and Venus as well?
No, it was not live. I mean, it was live about houses. I briefly spoke about this transit and what it means. It was kind of like bonus for those who joined early.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's just so much information. So if you enjoyed this conversation, then be sure to head to her Instagram. And like she said, let us know if you want us to go deeper. Yeah, we've just covered, right, the sun and the moon today, but we can perhaps begin to go into, there's room for so much more conversation about like Jupiter, Saturn, Venus, you know, like you said, Lilith, even just talking about, yeah, Saturn as well, Mercury, the more collective planets like Uranus, Neptune. There's just so much more to speak about. And this is just the beginning of a conversation, but hopefully it was able to provide you some insight into yourself, understanding yourself, and maybe those around you in your life. And like I said, if you're desiring to go further and really uncover and unravel more about yourself and take it to the next level, to be able to really truly see your chart and look at all the different aspects and angles and be able to see this like cosmic graph and cosmic picture, cosmic image of yourself further, then definitely the booking an ultimate reading or even the beginner reading, the basic reading is a really good place to go to start and to, yeah, just to learn more about yourself. Like I said, it's such an amazing gift to yourself as well, whether it's just for you or for someone else. It's just like the gift that keeps on giving, you know.
Exactly. And people who ordered birth chart for themselves, you know, I have repeat clients, they order for their sisters or for their mothers, for their relatives. So they always come back. And, you know, I'm sure, guys, you'll be satisfied because after each reading, you're not just left with a book. I also offer 1 hour complimentary conversation that you could ask any questions about yourself based on your birth chart.
Yeah, so it's not just like here, goodbye, you can read it. And then if any questions you have or any further clarification or anything like that, then you can ask those as well in that one-to-one call.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining today's episode of Unlimited Abundance. Thank you everyone for listening. It was such a pleasure to have you on, and you'll be back again many more times. Do you have any final things to share?
Final things to share. We are living in very interesting time, and I know that the world is polarized, right? So kind of like, but remember, there is no black and white. There's always truth somewhere in the middle. Don't be involved in the hatred that may be involved, that you may hear about the situations, what's going on in the world. You know that the truth somewhere in the middle, and you don't know what you don't know. So just stay in love and light and be positive and believe that whatever is happening in your life, in the world, is for our collective good. Namaste.
Yes, namaste. Thank you everyone for listening, and I will see you next week on Unlimited Abundance.